Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Friday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. We are live from the Oxygen Community Studios located inside Gambo's office here in Ahwatukee. My name is Dave Burns alongside the one, the only, John Gambadero. Hi, Gambo.
Burnsy, what is going on? Thank you for bringing the Sombaro's tacos over today. They were very good.
You are welcome. I did offer, for the record, to have some door dashed to Jordan Sarah, and they both politely declined. I felt bad that we were having a little NBA celebratory lunch with Sombaro's while watching the Suns game over here, and I wanted the rest of the team to partake, but they said they were good. They're fine.
I'm just glad we could guilt you into making the offer.
That's really all we wanted.
Yeah.
Sarah, if there's one thing you need to learn about me, I can be guilted into many things. I have that guilty button is it's there. It's real. It's very pushable. If you want to push my guilt button, it's very pushable. I will.
I'm like, you guys go get your own tacos.
Gambo's got no guilt button.
Gambo's like, do I have tacos? Okay, I'm good. Thanks.
Yeah.
When Burnsy gets here, I'm going to eat my tacos. I'm not going to say hi to him. No. I'm going to munch down my tacos as fast as I possibly can because I have not eaten since 7 o'clock last night, and I'm starving.
Pinto beans.
I'm intermittent fasting, and I've got to eat. I'm hungry.
I ran the 4.5 miles.
I ran 4.5 miles on my treadmill. I'm hungry. I got to eat.
Hydrates.
So no, Gambo's got no guilt button. I will say this though: if you would have told me, and I tweeted this out earlier, if you would have told me back on March 11th, hey, by the way, when the NBA season resumes, it's going to be in a bubble, and it's going to be in Orlando. And you're going to be watching the Suns game on a Friday afternoon in Gambo's living room. I might have actually believed you. You know, I might have gone, you know what? Okay, that makes sense. You know, if that's all right, sure, why not? NBA season in a bubble, and I'm watching it in Gambo's living room on a Friday afternoon. Because that's basically what we've been doing the last hour, is just watching the Suns game.
Yeah, we did. You came over a little early. We got the show mapped out. We sat down. We watched the Suns game for an hour.
And of course, the part where we have to get to work is where the part where the Suns pull away from the Wizards, at least they have now. It's 60-46. It was
46-44 Washington. It's a 14-2 run right now. A 16-2 run by the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
16-2 run to take control of this game.
Booker has got 12 points. Cameron Johnson getting the starting nod today for Saric has 10 points on 4-for-4 shooting. Ricky Rubio's got 7. Dario Saric came off the bench. He had 11 points. Suns 60-46 right now over the Wizards in the restart. That is not our main story of the day today. We'll tell you what is right now here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in.
Oh, Diamondbacks.
2020-2021 tickets on sale now. It's going to be a big season for D-backs baseball.
6-3, they lose to the L.A. Lakers.
LA Lakers.
Yeah, my mind's on basketball, can you tell? 6-3, they lose to the L.A. Dodgers
last night. LeBron went 3-for-4 with 2 doubles.
Anthony Davis,
5 RBIs.
2-run home run off of Robbie Ray in the first inning. And, that's what happened last night. 6-3 to the L.A. Dodgers last night. And, I mean, so much that has gone wrong with this season. We'll talk more about this a little bit later. But if you look at everything, record, run differential, where they're batting as a team, where their ERA is a team, I'm very comfortable in saying that we're 1 week into the restart in Major League Baseball, and the Diamondbacks have been the worst team in baseball in the first week of this restart season. They're the worst team in baseball right now, today, 1 week into this restart.
Listen,
it's terrible.
I'm not going to sugarcoat this. That was an absolutely pathetic performance by Robbie Ray again. Absolutely pathetic. I mean, unacceptable performance by Robbie Ray. I mean, all we heard all short and spring long was how great his stuff was, how great his best it's ever been, best I've ever thrown the ball, best I've ever felt. Two eggs laid by Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray has been a disaster for the Arizona. They are 0-4 in games pitched by Madison Bumgarner and Robbie Ray. 0-4.
Rutrow.
Yeah. I mean, a guy labored again, couldn't get through 5 innings. He's 0-2 with an ERA of 8.64. Here's my problem with how bad he's pitching. We can't even trade you. I can't even trade you.
Well, you can.
No, nobody's going to want you.
No, no one's going to want. I thought you meant because of the trade deadline.
No.
I mean, you could, but.
I've been looking for a starting pitching. Hey, Robbie Ray's available. Yeah, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah.
I mean.
I got to admit, that thought did go through my head last night, too.
Oh, I was thinking it, of course.
When's the trade deadline? Does it matter? I don't think it does. He has. He's been.
Gave up three in the first. He had 20 pitches. He had 50 pitches by the end of the second inning. He had 50 pitches. I mean, he went 4 2/3. He walked 6 batters, 5 hits, 6 walks.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a total disaster again.
Yeah, here's Torey Lovello after the game right now. We talked about right now being very frustrating, and obviously Robbie Ray is going to be a part of that conversation.
Frustration probably is where I'm at right now, but practicing patience and understanding that this game can change tomorrow, and we got to find a way to make something better happen than what happened today.
The problem with this performance is last night is it happened so early in the game. You had the kind of that defeated sense right from the outset, right? The AJ Pollock 2-run home run, the Corey Seager solo home run. I mean, you're in the top of the second inning, you're down 4-0, and with your offense and the way it's performed, Diamondbacks, by the way. Now hitting 196 on the season is the Arizona Diamondbacks as a team. With that in your corner, you give up a 4 spot in the first couple of innings, and it's hard not to believe that there's going to be, even though 4 runs shouldn't be an insurmountable amount by any stretch, you can see how that might lead to kind of a defeated feeling with that team down 4-0 to the Dodgers that early in the game.
Yeah, you know, and the walks, the look, the offense is a different story, and we'll get to that. But here's the problem. You want to see the problem? The Rockies are 4-1, the Padres are 5-2, and the Dodgers are 5-2. All right? Like, you're 7 games in for the Dodgers and the Padres, and you. I mean, all of these teams are ahead of you. You have the worst record in all of baseball 7 games in. Now, you might still sit there and say there's 53 games left. I get it. But, like, Torey preaching patience, like, this is not the time to be patient. And we'll get into his moves because I thought he made, you know, good decisions last night with what happened with Peralta and Lamb, which we'll get into later. But, I mean, the Robbie Ray thing, like, if he doesn't – listen, if you don't win the games that Ray and Bumgarner pitch, you're not going anywhere. Just forget it. You're not going to go anywhere. Those guys are supposed to pitch 24 baseball games. Mm-hmm. They're 0-4 in the games that they've pitched. Mm-hmm. There's 20 games left with these two on the mound. That's it.
Yeah. And the Bumgarner thing, I'll give him a little bit more wiggle room, and not because of the velocity, just because I thought he pitched well, even though he had the diminished velocity. But Madison Bumgarner was not the reason, I didn't think, why they are 0-2 in his 2 starts. Robbie Ray has been the reason. All right, Robbie Ray was the reason last night. Robbie Ray was the reason against San Diego. Robbie Ray has been the reason why he's lost the 2 starts the Diamondbacks have, the games that they've lost when he started. After the game, he was asked, why are things not working for him right now? Here's what he said.
Honestly, it's probably the fastball consistency. My timing is probably just a little off. I need to go back and look at it. But I feel good. Everything feels good. Arm feels good. Everything, it feels like it's coming out good. It's just misfiring a little bit. I just got to get that timing back that I had during summer camp. And I feel like when that timing is there, I've seen spurts of it throughout the game, you know, being able to drive the ball into righties. But it's just not consistent enough. It's not what it was in summer camp. And I just need to be better.
But here's the thing. You know, I heard the same things you heard about Robbie Ray during summer camp. Oh, you should see the velocity. Oh, you should see the stuff. Oh, you should see how prepared he is. Everybody was raving. And you know, Gambo, even then, I'll admit to you, I had a hard time believing it. I had a hard time believing.
I wanted to.
That 2 weeks of Robbie Ray at summer camp was going to erase 4 years of what we had kind of learned about him and what we've come to know about him.
But the contract year, didn't you think that maybe it would be different in a contract year?
I thought that his dedication to his craft might be a little different in a contract year because he said, this is a very important year for me. I have no choice. I have to pitch this season because I'm pitching for my contract next year. I don't know. I guess you're right. I wanted to believe, but I was also a little bit skeptical because we've just had so much data on Robbie Ray, so many starts, so many opportunities for him to morph into something that I just don't know if he's capable of morphing into. This is who he's been.
I was able to find out what his contract offer will be for next year.
Mm-hmm.
5 cents.
Charlie Brown. 5 cents?
5 cents.
Wow. That would be a record, I would think.
5 cents.
Isn't the minimum in baseball like $550,000?
Yeah, but the way he's pitching, he's worth 5 cents.
Okay, so he'll actually set
you
precedent.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Yes. Robbie, we're offering you a one-year deal for 5 cents.
Just so everybody knows, I feel comfortable enough saying this now because I've done enough shows over here. We played the Willy Wonka soundbite just a second ago.
I love that movie. My wife hates it.
And to back that point up, in your guest bathroom here downstairs, there's a Gene Wilder magazine on the shelf.
I love Gene Wilder. He's one of my favorite actors.
Every time I'm in there, I see that magazine and I think, boy, he's not lying. He really does love himself
love
some Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
And my wife hates Willy Wonka with a passion. I can't understand how anybody could hate the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
It's
such a great movie, and she hates it.
I saw it once as a kid. And I'm not going to lie to you, it creeped me out.
The one part on the train.
It creeped me out.
That's it.
I thought it was really creepy. Like, what is this?
Oh, my wife hates it. I mean, she would do it. And I love it. I think it's a fantastic movie.
For decades.
Violet, you're a blueberry.
D-backs Dodgers tonight. Zach Gallen on the hill, 6:40 first pitch. We'll see if something different can happen this evening that we haven't seen yet so far this season. For decades, it has been a Thanksgiving weekend tradition here in our state. This year, the Territorial Cup won't be the last game played for ASU. It's going to be the first game played for ASU.
What you talking about, Willis?
I'll tell you next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Jaden Daniels takes one last knee, and for the second consecutive year, Herm Edwards is going to get a win in the Territorial Cup game, and for the seventh time in the last 10 years, Arizona State is going to get the win in the Territorial Cup game as the Sun Devils dominate in the second half and defeat the Wildcats 24-14.
Tim Healy with a call on the Sun Devil Football Network. Last fall, end of November, when the Sun Devils beat the Wildcats. And in a 2020 year, Gambo, where everything is turned upside down, everything is spun all around, where we don't know what to expect, should we really be surprised that ASU's new football schedule, as released today by the Pac-12, starts with U of A and doesn't end with U of A?
You know, whatever you got to do to get a season in, you know, and get your marquee games in. I mean, I think that they are bracing for the fact that they may not be able to play a full season. I think they're seeing what's happening in Major League Baseball. They know that they're not in a bubble. They know they got they got young college kids, and they may be saying, okay, listen, let's get our marquee matchups in. Let's make sure we get them in before this whole thing shuts down. I mean, that's what it looks like to me. Now, there's some flexibility in the schedule. In case something does happen, but it's not like there's a ton of flexibility. It is like 2 weeks of flexibility.
Yeah, and I'm looking across the league now. It's not like every team is starting with their rival here. It's not like the Civil War, if you will, between Oregon and Oregon State. That's not a week one or a week two matchup. Cal Stanford, that's not a week one or a week two matchup, but the couple that are. ASU versus U of A right out of the chutes. UCLA and USC in the Pac-12 right out of the chutes. And here's Larry Scott on why the redone Pac-12 schedule has those games in week one.
We realize at the moment those are real hotspots and the requisite authorities and approvals necessary are not there yet. By putting them the first week, in the event that these two teams in each of those two markets playing against each other winds up not being possible, they become very easy to reschedule. So each of those could reschedule into the bye week that you'll see on the calendar a few weeks later or to the December week that we left.
Okay, now that's interesting. They could have lots of reasons for doing this, but he's saying because it's California and because it's Arizona, they're almost anticipating that those games will not be able to be played in week one. So let's take the rivalry game. And if that's the one we've got to push back to the bye week, if that's the one we've got to push back to December, then let's do it. Let's take that rivalry game.
So make it early, and if we have to push it back, we can just reschedule that
one. Make it early. Let's pick the markets where we're worried we're not going to be able to play that first game.
So you have two shots to get that game in.
Exactly.
The schedule starts on time, or...
Yep. Or
it doesn't, and so two shots to play that one.
Because the way the schedule came out, and I'll give you ASU's full schedule right now. It's quite different from what it was. September 26th, they open at U of A, so a week later than we were anticipating, right? Then October 3rd against Stanford. Stanford was not on their schedule originally. They are now with it being conference only. At Oregon, then a bye week. You could move the U of A game to there if it's not, if conditions aren't right to play it.
Right.
Then home against UCLA on October 24th, I'm sorry. October 31st at Colorado, November 7th home against Utah, the 14th at Washington State, November 21st at USC, the 28th hosting California, December 5th at Oregon State. The Pac-12 championship isn't until December 18th or 19th, Gambo, so December 12th is open and available. If you have a game that can't be played that needs to be moved into that weekend, and that's what Larry Scott was basically saying. If Arizona is not ready for Arizona State, we've got two weekends we can move that game into, the bye week or at the end of the season, the first week of November.
Makes sense, okay? I mean, that does make sense. Flexibility, as we've discussed, is the most important thing.
Yes.
You got to have flexibility. You got to have some breaks in the schedule. You got to anticipate that you're gonna miss a game or not. So the flexibility in the Pac-12, when, with them making this announcement, and I'm looking at the entire schedule here, is they have a little bit. They with the bye weeks all scheduled, like you said, in a three-week window, all of those bye weeks, and then the ability, later on to add one on week 12, which is December 12th, and then, and I'm not sure if you mentioned this, so excuse me because I was looking at the schedule. The championship game, if they're able to play it, will not be at a neutral site.
I have not mentioned that.
Okay.
It will be at the stadium of the team with the best record.
Right.
It's not going to be in Vegas. Whichever team has the best record in the Pac-12 championship game, they get to host the title game. Yeah.
So that way it's not neutral site. One team will be home. The other will travel there. So no championship game in Vegas. Home team, best record, gets to host the Pac-12 championship game, which they've got for either 12-18 or 12-19, which is week 13 of their season.
Larry Scott, on his confidence level, that this schedule that was released today by the Pac-12 reaches its conclusion and plays to its fruition?
I don't know. I think we are all trying to take a step at a time. We are cautiously optimistic sitting here today. But as Dr. Aukerman mentioned, and we've tried to reinforce, there are elements outside our control that are going to have a lot of influence on that question. What's happening in our communities? What's happening in our campuses? A lot of that's got to do with, right, mask wearing, social distancing, other things. What happens when thousands of students come back to our campus? None of us have the answer to that question.
He went on to say that having to reschedule a game is, quote, a real possibility and a likelihood, close quote, and said that this announcement, this football schedule announcement, was done with a lot of humility, which means we realize that we might have to bow down to the virus and that this schedule might not be the exact way it's played in the fall. We released this schedule with the humility of, hey, we understand this might not be what it looks like when it's all said and done.
No,
we just don't know.
Because, listen, you find out a week before, or you find out 2 days before a game, you've got a few players, key players, with coronavirus, and you can't play that game. Are those guys going to be ready to play the next week? Or what if it's 10 players?
Right.
What if it's your starting quarterback, your starting wide receiver, your starting linebacker? I mean, that's the one thing we're finding out with baseball. Like, just because you can't play one game doesn't mean you'll be ready to play in a couple of days.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's the problem with, hey, that's nice that you added flexibility. But you're basically saying that, we're not going to play this game this day, but we can't take 2 weeks in a row off. You don't have that flexibility. One, yes. You could skip a game, but then, you're supposed to play the next week. Can you skip that game too? I think that every college football team should just brace for the fact that they may get to only play 7 or 8 games.
Now, it's going to be weird for ASU U of A week one, assuming it even happens. I read today, I sent you a story, the Big Ten is considering the same thing, that Ohio State-Michigan might be the first game that's played when the Big Ten releases their schedule, at least one of the first games that they play that opening weekend. The cynic in me, and I was listening to Bickley and Murata talk about this earlier, do they want to get those rivalry games done first in case that the season gets shortened at the back end and they want to make sure their most interesting games, their most profitable games are played early to make sure they get
probably
it in before? I mean, I imagine that
probably
has something to do with it. But again, look at the schedule. Not every rivalry game is early in the season. Oregon plays Oregon State week 4. Washington plays Washington State the second to the last week of the season.
But UCLA plays USC. Washington right. plays Stanford.
Right.
Colorado doesn't have a rival.
Not really.
Cal has Stanford, and that's week 5.
Correct.
So the two teams without a rival are Utah and Colorado. So they don't really have a rivalry.
No, and Washington kind of has two with Oregon and Washington State. Oregon's the middle of the season. Washington State's the second to the last game of the
right.
season. So it wasn't every rivalry in the first weekend, just a couple. And as Larry Scott said, in particular, in the states right now where it sounds like they are the least confident they're going to be able to play a football game. ASU's home opener wouldn't be until October 3rd against Stanford. October 3rd. The first home game at Sun Devil Stadium for ASU. Again, if they can pull it off.
This is the times we live in, my friend.
Yeah. There is now a new Major League Baseball team that is seeing positive coronavirus cases on their roster. There's a new MLB team that had a game postponed because of it. And Rob Manfred has given the Players Union a very concerning warning. And we'll share it with you next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll presented by Sanderson Ford.
Going to get into that white hot news out of Major League Baseball and Jeff Passan's tweets in just a moment, I promise. First, let's send it back to the Oxygen Community Studios there in North Phoenix where Sarah Cazell is standing by. She's got our college football related poll question of the day today for Twitter. Hi, Sarah.
Yes. Hi. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Well, the Pac-12 has released its schedule, and no surprise, it's going to look very different from what we are used to this fall, but more different than maybe some were expecting. For example, the Territorial Cup, which is usually played at the end of the college football season, that's going to be week 1, Arizona State down in Tucson. So what do you guys think about the T-Cup being moved to the start of the season? Here are the 4 options for you to choose from. I hate it. It breaks tradition. I think it's great in case the season is cut short and you don't get to the end of the season. I dislike the move, but I understand it. Or the last one, I am just glad to have any kind of college football.
Dislike it, but I get it. I mean, I get it.
Until you gave me that last option, I was going to say exactly the same thing. Dislike it, but I understand it. But ultimately, I'll just be happy with whatever college football I can get in this fall because I really don't know what we're going to get out of that sport. So I'm going to vote for that one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just glad to get what I can get. But right up until you presented that as an option, I would have gone with the one that Gambo went with. I dislike it, but I understand it. So
okay. It's
a tie between those two, basically.
Well, those are definitely the two most popular responses right now. 41% say, I'm just glad to have any kind of college football. I'll take what I can get. 29% said what Gambo did. I dislike the move, but I understand it. 19% said I hate it because it breaks the tradition. And 11% say it's great in case the season is cut short.
All right, that's the poll question. As always, you can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page, at Burns and Gambo, one word on Twitter, to interact with the show and Sarah as she does a terrific job managing our account. Breaking. This is a tweet from Jeff Passan. Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred told Executive Director Tony Clark of the MLBPA today that if the sport doesn't do a better job of managing the coronavirus, it could shut down for the season.
Wow. There's a lot to unpack there.
Wow.
Okay, let's start with the news today that led us to this point.
Okay.
The St. Louis Cardinals have 2 players that have tested positive for COVID-19. their game against the Milwaukee Brewers was postponed because of that. There are two other games today that involve the Marlins, Nationals, Blue Jays, and Phillies that already have been postponed. So when you add that all up, that's 20% of the league is now shut down due to the virus. 20% of the league is shut down.
Yep. Nationals, Marlins, Blue Jays, Phillies, Brewers, Cardinals. 20%. 20%. And now, I mean, this. So what they're hoping to do, and I haven't seen an update on this, but I believe this is still the same. What they're hoping to do is that the Brewers and the Cardinals won't play tonight, that everything will be fine and they can play tomorrow. Then they'll play a doubleheader on Sunday, perhaps with the new seven-inning rules, which were officially approved. Perhaps not. I don't know. And that would allow at least those two teams to get back on track. In the middle of all of this, Gambo, Major League Baseball just released their latest round of testing results. You ready for this?
Yeah, give me it.
Okay.
I'm sure it's good.
Monitor testing. To date, the number of monitoring samples collected and tested in the last week was nearly 12,000, 11,895. 29 of those 12,000 samples, 0.2%, have been new positives. 20 positives were players, 9 were staff members. 21 of the 29 positives were from a single Major League Baseball club, the Miami Marlins.
Okay.
They don't say it, but it's the Miami Marlins, obviously.
I mean, okay, but Marlins, Phillies have staff.
Yep.
Cardinals have players.
Yes. Two players not named. Reportedly, they're both pitchers. I read this morning that they're both pitchers, but nobody wanted to report on names and who it was.
No, yeah, I heard some. Yeah, there was some guy with the Athletic. We've decided we're not going to report anybody's names, but I can tell you it's two pitchers. I tweeted the guy back. I'm like, that. You know, all you're doing is like leading to speculation. It's just it's ridiculous.
Did you?
Yeah, I tweeted the guy back. I mean. You know my policy.
So you're in one of those kind of moods, huh?
Yeah.
You're in one of those I'm going to tweet people back kind of moods. Oh, boy. Look out. Buckle your seatbelts today, folks.
Yeah.
Gambo's tweeting people back.
Let me see what I said to the guy.
I'm sure you got it right. I'm sure you did.
I have it right in front of me.
Oh, do you? Yes. Read it for us, please, sir.
Bad idea to even mention what position the players play. All it does is lead to speculation where everyone is guessing who those players are. Better to just say two players and move on. Let the players, it was them. Oh, say it was them. You left out a verb. If they choose to do so. Yeah.
There you go. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Somebody just responds. It was two lefties. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
What do you think? Okay, let's get back to this threat. Which, by the way, one of the quick news note: the Marlins, with all of their positive cases, apparently, according to reports, now they're going to get on a bus. They're going to be bused back to Miami, where they're going to quarantine there until it's deemed that they're ready to play. Reportedly, there's one Marlins player who is tested negative, who's thinking now about opting out of the season.
I saw that.
I think it's Eisen Diaz, I believe.
It is. He's a second baseman. He's one of their top prospects. And he is considering opting out altogether.
Yeah.
He was in the minority among Marlins players in that he was negative. The Marlins are not commenting on that right now. But John Heyman tweeted that he's heard that he may opt out.
Yeah. Here's Jeff Passan this morning. This is a failure by absolutely everyone involved.
This is, in many ways, a failure by everybody involved. If you want to point fingers, you go around the room, you go, that guy, 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 and you wouldn't be wrong.
The St. Louis Cardinals, particular, their positive tests is a very bad situation.
It is not a good situation right now. Major League Baseball had hoped that outside of the Miami Marlins and the Philadelphia Phillies and everything that came from that, they were going to be able to isolate coronavirus positives. Clearly, this is not a disease that is isolated easily. There have been positive tests with the St. Louis Cardinals. The Milwaukee Brewers' home opener today against them has been postponed. Presumably, the rest of the games this weekend are going to be postponed as well as they see the fallout from this.
I want to get back to the threat that Passan reported. And by the way, Ken Rosenthal backed it up, said I can confirm this. This is the conversation that took place between Manfred and Tony Clark. Number one, It seems to me that Manfred is trying to blame Clark and the players for this malfeasance, that they're trying to blame them for this thing spiraling out of control. The question that comes off of that, is it fair for Rob Manfred to blame Tony Clark and the Players Association? And then question number three, do you think this threat is hot air, or do you think this threat is real from Rob Manfred?
No,
I know it's a lot of questions there, but that's what comes to mind.
You know, I would have thought that the threat would have came from Tony Clark. Like, we got to get this stuff in order or our players aren't going to play. Because the players are the one that are putting their is the risk. I thought the players would have went to Tony Clark and said, look, man, if this kid stuff doesn't get out of control, we're out. So the fact that it was Rob Manfred was surprising to me. That it was the owners want to play. You know, there's money involved. They want the playoff revenue. They want, you know, so to me, that was a little surprising that it was Manfred. Like, got to get the players under control here. Well, you're the one who controls a lot of the and dictates a lot of the rules.
Well, I mean, unless Rob Manfred, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here, here's Rob Manfred saying to Tony Clark hypothetically, hey, Tony, we came up with a list of like 100 pages of things that we're supposed to do, protocols that we're supposed to follow. Your guys aren't following them.
Right.
Your players, we gave you the rules. We agreed to the rules. We agreed to the protocols that would keep us all safe. Your players, in particular one team, did not follow those rules. And now the whole season is in jeopardy because of it. And I just wonder if that blame is deserved on the players or if that's Manfred trying to pass the buck a little bit onto the players and start the blame game and point the finger at them. I don't know. But it does seem to me that if you spent at least some of this offseason working on a 100-page document that lists everything you can and can't do, if you're threatening the Players Association like that, you are in part accusing them of not following the rules that were put into place and agreed to by both sides.
I don't know if it's a blame game. I don't know. I think it's probably fair to say that both sides need to get their act together with this. You could say all you want about positive tests. You got six teams that aren't playing today. You got games being postponed. You got the Phillies aren't playing for at least 8 days. I think the Marlins are up to, what, 9 or 10 now?
Yeah.
I mean, you got teams that can't play a 60-game season. A couple of them that can't play 60 games. And now the Cardinals can't play. Like, it's, you know, whatever it is, I mean, both sides need to kind of figure this thing out. And now maybe there's nothing you could do. Maybe this is just the world we live in. You're not in a bubble. You're not in a bubble. Players are going home. Players are going out. They're around people who are going out.
Yeah.
You can't just have everybody that's associated with the player isolate, and it's not going to happen.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, unlike baseball, the NBA's resumption of their season has gone very smoothly. What were our biggest takeaways from the first night of meaningful games in Orlando? We'll share with you next on the Burns and Gambo show. Suns leading the Wizards 82-70, 85-70 after that three-pointer.
Yeah, bad news for the Wizards so far, Burnsy. Bad news for the Wizards.
I miss that. You know,
yeah.
I that's the one thing about this restart I don't like one bit. Because the Suns are playing a bunch of day games, I'm going to be deprived of my bad news for the Wizards. Did you realize when you and Jordan did it the other day, before
it
that
brought so much
game,
joy to you?
It did, and yeah. Not just me. Sarah? Our audience, mm-hmm. We all, wouldn't you agree, Sarah, that we all reveled in that?
I mean, people soaked it up.
I really implore you.
You were trying to get us to do it yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's not the day. It's not the day of the game.
You might have to do it the
game
before.
No, you want us to break rules, and it's just, I mean,
2020 is all
December.
About breaking rules, baby. Let's go.
2020 is about breaking rules. I mean, for goodness sakes, we're doing a radio show from your office.
Yeah.
At your house in Ahwatukee. There are no rules.
And for some reason, one of my air conditioning units is not pumping cold air out
now. Oh, really? So the shine on my forehead wasn't...
No, I'm like, oh my God.
Wasn't the evidence you needed that it's a little warm in here?
Yeah. There's an AC tech in Ahwatukee right now. Send me a message.
Come on over.
Yeah, the one of them's not pumping the cold air out like the other one. I'm like,
it's so damn hot.
It is.
Milk was a bad choice.
I'm like, uh-oh. I'm like,
hey, look,
Chelsea's got it set at 73 and it's showing 80. I'm like, okay, I know it's hot out, but I don't think it's working properly.
If you're an AC tech and you want to swing on by, I mean, you could get a live radio show for free, basically. You'd be a live studio audience while you fix the air conditioning for us. By the way, from this Suns game, DeAndre Ayton, first career three-pointer.
Woo!
top of the circle, and he drained it.
Yeah, I did not see it. Was that just now?
That was about 5 minutes ago. You were busy.
Did you see it?
I did see it.
Oh, man.
I did see it. Yeah. I
saw it over here, too.
Yeah,
it was majestic.
It was pretty. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting.
Well, he got two fouls early in this game and then had to leave with like 5 minutes left in the first quarter. He had two fouls.
Yeah.
But they put him right back in the start of the second quarter. Now the Suns are doing what they need to do. They're beating up on the Wizards. That's good.
85-72 with about 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. Last night's NBA opening night featuring the Jazz and the Pelicans, the Lakers and the Clippers. We'll talk about the Jazz and the Pelicans in a little bit.
Because that Lakers game.
Very curious that they didn't play Zion down the stretch in that game. But that Lakers game was, it was a little sloppy at the beginning. But, man, at the end, there were some shots and there were some stars. There was Paul George hitting a three to tie it.
LeBron's defense on the final possession
was fantastic.
I'm going to take Kawhi, and then I'm going to go take Paul George. And if you pass it to anybody else, I'm going to take him too.
Yep.
You could go 5-on-1, and I'm going to shut you guys down. He was a beast.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just a beast defensively on that final possession. Kawhi couldn't do anything with it, passed it to Paul George. He took a bad, he was forced to take a bad shot. Great defense by LeBron.
Yeah, and then on the offensive end, the play prior.
Here's James, gets up a runner, thought he was fouled, no contact, followed it up and put it in. Wow. And a timeout called by the Clippers. Second. James was looking for contact and able to follow it up and score.
I think he felt he got hit, and that's why he threw it up to the rim.
He didn't play. It was a little bit of a grind for LeBron, obviously. Anthony Davis played tremendous. He had 34 points, and there was just no answer by the Clippers for him. He kept going to the free throw line. I mean, they've got some tremendous wing defensive players for the Clips, but they didn't have anybody who could guard Anthony Davis last night. Every time they tried, they fouled him and sent him to the line.
No, and that's the biggest issue for the Clippers. Is gonna, like, these two teams are the best teams in the West, and it's very likely going to come down to them in the Western Conference Finals, I would imagine, and it's going to be a war and a dogfight. Yeah, the Lakers are playing without Avery Bradley. They're playing without Rajon Rondo. The Clippers are playing without, a couple of their guys, including Lou Williams. So, there's some new guys that are adjusting. Waiters was good for the Lakers, Deion Waiters, and that was a big plus for them. They got to try to get something out of that second unit. We're going to see. I mean, you got to refresh. Look, LeBron, he doesn't care about, bubbles. He doesn't care about, tainted or asterisks. That guy just wants to win another championship. He wants to win another title badly, to have championships on three different organizations and add. So you could just tell, man. I mean, he was – and I kind of knew that last night's game was going to be played that way. We thought maybe – we talked about it. You brought up maybe they won't go that hard because, you can't really move in the standings. Man, that was a battle to the end. Yeah. Both teams wanted to win that game badly just to maybe establish a little dominance.
It's funny that you say that because I thought about you saying that during yesterday's show when I was watching that game. And as it turns out, you were absolutely right. Although I don't necessarily think for the reason that you just said. I think part of the reason why both those teams played that hard was because they knew that the eyes of the sports world were going to be on them and they wanted to deliver a show. LeBron,
that could be the reason why. That could be more of the reason why.
I mean, you're talking about four of the biggest stars in the league, right? In Kawhi, Paul George, Anthony Davis,
yes,
and LeBron James.
100%.
And it seems like that on the opening night, knowing that they are the marquee matchup, knowing that it's been months now, almost five since we've seen NBA action that has counted, rather than play a game that you would typically expect where minutes would be managed and things would be cautious, it's almost like LeBron and AD and all of them said, look, we have gone 5 months without the NBA. Let's give them a show. Let's go out there and let's not manage minutes and let's not manage load and let's not worry about fatigue. Let's just go all out because nobody's been able to watch basketball since March 11th. Let's give them everything we've got and then we'll worry about minutes.
But if the Lakers were playing the Wizards,
mm-hmm,
or the Suns, the intensity is just not going to be the same.
Agreed. Agreed.
Because it's the Clippers and they are your major threat, you want to beat them. You want to beat them. You want to show. And listen, we're top dog here. You got to beat us.
Yeah.
So, I think there was just a lot more intensity because that was the game. So, yeah, I'm glad that was the first game.
Yeah, and I think we're both right. I think there's a mixture of both of those going into why that game was so intense last night. I enjoyed it. It was so great to have Inside the NBA back with Kenny and Chuck. That's Shaq and Ernie. That's still the best show on TV when it comes to sports.
I missed the Lou Williams one.
Oh.
You sent out the – because I was more about – the Diamondback game last night.
Oh, I was.
So, and I'm not a. I can't watch two games at one time like you. Uh-huh. I don't have the attention span for it. So, like, I fast forwarded through the halftime because I wanted to watch the Laker game, but I missed the halftime show.
I don't know if we're even allowed to play this on our air or not. But what Kenny Smith said about Lou Williams on Inside the NBA and him going to the strip club for the chicken wings. I'm guessing we...
This is great. You want to say it?
Quote, he didn't go in there for the wings. He went for the legs and the thighs.
Oh, man. Man, oh, man, oh, man.
Chuck lost it.
Oh, I would have lost it, too.
Lost it when he said that.
He didn't go in for the wings. He went in for the legs and the thighs. Oh, my God. We're like, did he really say that? And then you're like, okay, it's 2020. Can you say that?
So funny. I wasn't
like, can you say that?
I wasn't sure if I could, but you know what? I did.
You're not saying it. You're repeating what somebody else said.
I might not even be allowed to do that for all I know. I have no idea.
My God.
But they were – Shaq was late. He was stuck in traffic. They were giving him crap about that. It was really well done. Very, very funny. Very good night of
basketball. Sure he wasn't delivering his new Shaq-a-roni pizza or something?
I don't believe he was delivering the new Shaq-a-roni pizza, no. And today is the first day of full action from the bubble. And I'll just give you a couple quick scores. The Magic beat the Nets today 128-118.
Magic played already?
Yeah.
How'd Aaron Gordon do?
Okay, I wasn't expecting.
Okay, I know you weren't, but I care about that. I care about that.
Okay. Hold on. Give me a minute.
26 minutes. 10
okay?
points.
How many?
10 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists. Yeah, in 26 minutes.
He took 5 shots. He only took five shots?
Yeah. Yeah. 6 of 8 from the 3, 11 rebounds.
Yeah.
2 assists, no blocks. Okay. Yeah. All right, Joe, just curious because it's a guy I think that they'll target.
From the pitching to the offense, it's been a complete team effort in all the wrong ways for the Diamondbacks. And after the first week of the season, it has translated to something that's undeniable. Right now, the D-backs are the worst team in baseball. And we'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.